You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
How many of you have a baby toe? That's not the clinical term. That's just a colloquialism, right? You ever notice that baby toe doesn't have a real big nail on it? And when you go get your feet did, they just take a little polish and dab it. Sometimes they don't even bother it because it's just out of the way. So when you put your sandals on, the strap goes over it. That's why you doll up the other four. You put all the liner and stuff on the other four because that one over there is obscure. It's hidden. Nobody pays attention to it. But if you cut it off, you're going to fall right over because it provides balance. Are you hearing me? It may be small and innocuous, out of the way, but it provides balance. You don't stub your baby toe much. You know why? Because it's hidden. You baby toe Christians, you're providing balance for the church. And the reason you don't get hurt much is because you're hidden by God. God don't want everybody to know who you are, so he's got you hidden. And you don't even feel like getting involved in a whole lot of stuff, not because you're arrogant, but because you're a baby toe, and you are providing balance. Now, the body is a miraculous thing. Even David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Even when it comes to swelling. Swelling is revelational. In some cases, swelling is present to protect the area that's been wounded. The body is saying, hey, something's wrong. Let's swell up and protect it. Other times, swelling comes when it's trying to let you know that there's a problem somewhere else. Like heart problems. You get big ankles. You ignore them big ankles. Well, we just big boned it in our family. Next thing you know, the ushers are calling 911 because you're trying to praise the Lord like you're 20 and your heart is 60. So God lets different things come to the body to let you know something's wrong. Pain going down the left arm is a significant warning sign of a heart issue. Now watch the miraculous working of God. Why does the pain go down the left arm? Because the major nerve that is affected by heart attack is in the left arm and runs up to the heart. So God is trying to tell you, I'm looking out for you. In other words, God says there are certain people that cause you pain. Get rid of them before they make you have a heart attack. Look at the neighbor next to you, on either side. Now, listen to this as we go to the next section, verse 24. He says, for our comely parts, listen, our beautiful parts, he says, have no need. What is he saying? Is he saying we don't need them? No, here's what he's saying. Our comely parts have no need of more attention because we're going to give it to them. We're going to take care of what you can see. Now, please understand what I'm saying. This is our church, and I'm just me. Now, you match your underwear. Nobody sees it. Why'd you take so much time to match your underwear? Anybody going to see it? You took time to put on just the right color. Nobody's going to say it. It can be island lime green. And nobody sees it but you. But you took time. No, I better wear this with that. And I better wear this with that. Why? Because the outside, he said, you're going to take care of that. You're going to take care of your hair. You're going to take care of all the outside. But it's the little parts. You see, it's those people who come into church that don't connect, that don't communicate. They need more care than the boisterous, I'm getting involved with everything. You heard the story. We learned this in one of our classes of the little boy who would go to school and no one would talk to him. He would just go to his locker, get his books, go to class, go to his locker, get his books. No one would talk to him. One day he went to school and he left all of his books in his locker. And as he was walking out the door, a young man who was a born-again Christian walked over and started engaging him in a conversation. He made the young fellow smile. For a moment, he was happy. The young man went home and came back to school the next day, and he looked for this young boy. He says, I want to tell you something. He said, what is it? He said, yesterday when you stopped to talk to me, I was going home. I had put all my books in my locker, and I was going home to kill myself. He said, but you stopped and talked to me and made me feel like going on, and I want to thank you. You never know what's in the mind of a person. You never know. There are symptoms. All of a sudden, this person is pulling away. They don't come to church anymore. Don't immediately demonize. The devil's trying to get hold of them. Maybe they're crushed on the inside. Maybe something has happened to wound them. But those of us that are fine ought to reach out to those that are sick. Why? Because we're a body. Oh, my God, my God. This is good stuff, boy. I didn't know he was going down this road. Listen, he says, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together. I love that. Tempered there would be fused. He joined the body together. Hallelujah. Why? He says, having given more abundant honor, listen, to the part that lacks. God gave more abundant honor to the part of the body that lacks. How does he do that? By taking you strong, gifted people and putting you in a strategic position to help me through my neurosis. Amen, amen. As I stumble my way through Christianity, I need you to help me and do so without passing judgment. Because God, the best ministers are those who have received ministry. When you realize that God brought you out of your pit, you won't be so quick to condemn somebody who is in theirs. All right, notice he says, but there should, he said, he does this, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. What's schism? Division. Why are we so divided? Well, we'll deal with that more so at the 3 days in July. But understand this, just as an overview, we are divided because we're divided in church because we're divided in life. We have nothing to pull us together. Watch. The Bible teaches that the Jews were connected under the slavery in Egypt. And then the first church became connected under the persecution of the Roman Empire. When the devil saw that persecution brought us closer together, he stopped it. He stopped it. There is something evil about internal persecution that we have within ourselves that ultimately is reflected in how I treat you. Usually, the person who is self-hating will wind up being publicly hating. Now, my doctor and I had this conversation the other day because I like to pick their brain. You know, you ain't going to sit there and make me sit out here waiting for you for 15 minutes just to come in and get out in 10 minutes. I'm getting my money's worth. And so I asked this simple question. I said, why is it that you never treat the condition, just the symptoms? She says, why do you ask that? Think with me for a moment. In a country that has eradicated polio, that did at one time defeat syphilis and gonorrhea, that has gotten rid of all the nonsense medical conditions, can't seem to find a cure for cancer. When all it really is a rebellious cell could be energized by genetics. But are you telling me that with all the scientific minds, we sent people to the moon and brought them back? We have phones in our hands that are like computers. Are you telling me we can't? No, there's no money in a cure. And that's why preachers won't deal with cures. They want to keep you fighting a devil who's not the cause. flying up in airplanes and pouring oil out into the sky, talking about binding principalities. Paul said the strongholds were in our minds. If I can get your mind free, you put me out of a job. And I love to be out of the job of casting out devils. I want to be in the job of helping you realize your destiny. All right, let's go to that Ephesians. Go to that Ephesians work real quick. Again, Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to this. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. Here's what it means. People will say to me, boy, you look good. One person told me, they said, you don't age at all. I said, that's right, I'm 33. And this person called himself being slick. He said, yeah, but they killed Jesus when he was 33. I said, but I ain't your savior. And I have not mastered turning the other cheek. If you try to kill me, there's going to be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing. And we laughed about it because they're my friends. But he said to me, he says, every time I see you, it looks like you're getting younger. I said, no, here's what's happening. I am graced for this. God did not put me into this work and make me look like the presidents at the end of their term of office. Not a one of them looked as good as even President Obama. He came in with a head full of black hair with smooth African skin. By the time that man left, he looked like he had been chased by Jim Crow. He stood up and said, I just want to hit Control, Alt, Delete. Every one of them looked bad. But after 32 years, I look good. Why? Because I'm graced for this. Let me hear you say that. All right, listen to this. It means that whatever God puts you in, you are graced for it. He does not put you someplace that you are not graced for. Ergo, the people to whom you minister should never get on your nerves because you are graced for idiots. You are graced for those who are dysfunctional. Whoever God sends you, you are graced for it. Hallelujah. When you find that somebody is doing something that aggravates you, then you are not in the position God wants you to be. Nobody has ever driven me to leave in the pastorate. I joke with you at 7:30 about it, but in my heart of hearts, nobody can drive me out of what God has placed me in. I don't care who he raises up. I don't care who he causes me to submit to. I will submit to whomever God puts in that position because I'm graced to submit. And like Daniel, I will stay true to God and true to his leaders. I don't have any problem with President Trump. I pray for him. I don't call him names and lament his presidency. Because he could not have entered it if God did not allow it. So blame God. God could have said, not today, Don. I got this man over here at 29th and Cheltenham. I'm trying to get him to be president, but he don't want to take the cut in position. Because now he's a prince in my church. Going to lower himself to run a government when he's going to rule the world. See, you got to have a little swagger. I'm a prince. I'm going to reign and rule with him. Why do I want to rule here? Woo-hoo. Lord, I didn't preach myself happy. I don't care if y'all don't get happy. I'm happy right now. Watch this. He has given grace. Has God given you grace for what you are in? See, some of you, you don't even want to serve anymore. You just want to do your one little ministry. You suffer from what I call spiritual myopia. You just see one thing. No, the higher you go in God, the more service you should render. Every minister, every licensed and ordained minister ought to clean bathrooms. I did it and still do. We walk around with this attitude that, oh, well, now I'm in the ministry. I've reached pastoral status in the church. I don't do that no more. You ought to be in there adjusting seats, running vacuum cleaners. If Jesus can wash feet, you can scrub toilets. And if you can't, you are not the person to feed my soul. Because you're arrogant. I do things in the office. Sometimes the staff bless their heart. Pastor, you shouldn't be doing that. I used to fight with them. And, you know, no, I'm going to do it. Now I don't say nothing. I just go do it. Just go do it. You know how great it feels to serve? Told you about the lady that called once and she wanted food. And she asked if there was anybody there that could get her some food. I said, I'll see who I can find. I called another minister because I don't go to people's houses by myself. And I called him up and I said, I need you to go with me. And he and I went over to the food place and we bought like $275 worth of food. Took it to the house, rang the bell. Little boy came to the door. He said, yes. I said, is your mom here? He went back. She came to the door. She said, oh my God, it's Pastor Lambert. Watch this. I didn't think you would do this. Well, why not? See, we ask God to do something and then tell him what vehicle to use. And when's the last time you did something for anybody? Let me move off of that real quick. Then he says, wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, he that ascended is the same that descended. And when he descended, he ascended so that he could fulfill all things. And in order to fulfill all things, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some he energizes to be pastor teachers. Now, here's why, and you must really, really work this passage. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, some phrases follow this trend. He says that God gave the ministerial gifts of verse 11 to the term perfecting there has a tertiary meaning of causing you to recognize your destiny. Now, the reason that does not happen, again, it's linked to family. In the old days, 1700s, 1800s, fathers would sit with their sons and help them to determine their destiny. Dad, this is what I'd like to do. Well, son, you need to rethink that because that's not the best thing for you. I see that you have this artistic gift, and sitting behind a desk will just smother that gift and make you unhappy. Okay, Dad, I think I'll pursue that and try that. Parents, according to the Word of God, are supposed to guide children by employing both a reputable lifestyle and facets of discipline. The reputable lifestyle gives the child a goal with which they reach. The discipline causes them to stay in line so that they can reach the goal. But now it has morphed into children make their own decisions, and 9 times out of 10, it's the wrong decision because it's motivated by greed and or lust. Men are not picking wives because of their vocational abilities or their Proverbs 31 connections. They're picking wives because of their sexual prowess. See, they went for a test drive and liked the car because of the extras. But then when they purchased the car, they find that there were things that did not come up in the test drive. But unlike the car, you can't trade it back in. Now, my lease was expiring, and I decided to explore. So I went over to a car dealership, and they had this new model car that I liked when I saw it. And I thought, well, I want to. So the guy, you know how they do. Oh, would you like to go on a test drive? Yes. Yes, I want to go on a test drive. So he said, okay, well, I'll be right here. Let me go get one. And he brought the car up to the doorway, and he says, okay, let's go. And he gets out of the car so I can get in. He says, come right on around here. I got in on the passenger side. He said, no, 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 no. I said, yes, 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 yes. He said, why are you doing that? I said, because if I'm on the driver's side, I got to watch the road. I got to drive the car. I got to pay attention to all the obstacles while you're sitting over here trying to show me the benefits. I can't do both. I said, but while you're driving, watching the road, I can play with buttons. He said, I never heard anybody say that before. I said, you never run into a Jamaican before. So we go on the test drive and we come back. And I said, I don't want the car. What? I mean, he showed me features like waving your hand and the radio stations would change. I thought, what do I need that for?
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go Into My Blessing, or the program number 06519A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit betheldeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at betheldeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Join your Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches family as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ at BDIFC Holy Convocation 2019, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd and Sunday, August 25th. Each night we'll be blessed with a word from God brought forth by powerful ministers of the gospel. Special guest speakers for our Holy Convocation are Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church on Wednesday, August 21st, Bishop Paul S. Morton of Changing a Generation FGBC on Thursday, August 22nd, and Pastor Paul Shepherd of Destiny Christian Fellowship on Friday, August 23rd. Each service will be held at the Hilton Philadelphia City Ave at 7 p.m. nightly. The address is 4200 City Ave, Philadelphia, PA 19131. Sunday, August 25th will be our official night, in which the presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., will deliver an impactful message from the Lord. The service begins at 6 p.m. in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Shelton Ham Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. It's the BDIFC Holy Convocation, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 25th. Come out and join your church family for these empowering nights of praise, healing, and fellowship.